Title: Sub Ducking That Keeps Groove Alive Beginner. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing one of the most important low-end skills in drum and bass, sub ducking that keeps the groove alive. Because indeed envy, the sub is basically the engine of the whole track, but the kick, and often the snare too, still need their own little pockets to punch through. Sub ducking is just creating those pockets on purpose by turning the sub down very briefly when the drums hit. The key phrase today is, tighten the low end without killing the bounce. We're not going for that big obvious pumping you might associate with house. We want the kick to read clearly, while the bass line still feels like it's rolling forward continuously. By the end, you'll have three practical ways to do it in Ableton Live. Classic sidechain compression, which is fast and simple. Volume shaping, which is the most groove-friendly and controllable. And multiband style thinking, where you duck only the sub-range and keep the mid-bass moving. Let's set up a clean little system and then we'll slash be the different approaches. First, quick session setup. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. That's a common DNB tempo, and it makes all the timing choices we're about to do feel realistic. Now create a few tracks. A kick track as audio. A snare track as audio. A sub track as MIDI. And optionally a bass mids track, for your reese or growl or whatever character bass you want above the sub. Teacher note here. Splitting sub and bass mids is one of the easiest pro moves you can do early, because the thing that physically fights the kick is mostly the sub range. If you duck your entire bass sound every time the kick hits, you often destroy the movement and character. So we separate roles. Sub stays disciplined, mids can dance. Cool. Step 1. Build a clean sub. On the sub MIDI track, load operator. Set it to a simple sine wave. Make sure you're using only oscillator A, and keep it mono. One voice. No unison. No widening. If your bass line has slides, you can add a little glide or portamento, something like 50 to 120 milliseconds, but that's optional. Now, right after operator, add saturator. This is one of those small move, big result devices. A pure sine is powerful, but it can be hard to hear on small speakers. A tiny bit of saturation adds harmonics that let your ear follow the bass, even when the fundamental is dipping. Try soft sine or analog clip. Drive somewhere around plus 2 to plus 6 dB, and then compensate the output so you're not clipping. Then add EQ8. High pass gently around 25 to 30 Hz. This isn't to thin the bass out, it's to remove rumble that steals headroom and makes limiting harder later. Keep it subtle. Goal check. The sub should sound stable, simple, and centered. If you ever catch yourself wanting stereo chorus on the sub, pause. Put that energy into the mid layer instead. Before we even duck anything, quick sound design sanity check. If your sub note is smearing all over the place, ducking won't save you. So if notes overlap too much, go back to operator's amp envelope and shorten the release a little until the low end feels more stepped and less blurry. Ducking should be spacing, not damage control. Now step 2. Make a simple DNB drum pattern to duck against. Start with a basic two-step vibe. Kick on beat 1. Snare on beats 2 and 4. Keep it clean and obvious. You can add an extra kick before the snare later, but for now, simple is better because you want to clearly hear what the ducking is doing. Now we're ready for method A. Classic sidechain compression. Fast, effective, and it's the standard for a reason. On the sub track, add Ableton's compressor. Turn on sidechain. For audio from, choose your kick track. Now dial these starter settings. Ratio at 4 to 1. Attack somewhere between 3 and 10 milliseconds. And release between 60 and 120 milliseconds. Here's what those mean in plain language. Attack controls how quickly the dip starts. If attack is too fast, the sub can feel like it gets sucked away unnaturally. If attack is too slow, the kick still feels masked, because the sub doesn't move out of the way in time. That 3 to 10 millisecond window is a good DNB starting place. Release is the groove control. Release decides how long it takes for the sub to come back after the kick hits. Longer release means more audible pumping. Shorter release means tighter, more forward rolling bass. Turn off auto release if it's on. Auto can be fine, but manual is more predictable for rollers and for learning. Set knee to something like 3 to 6 dB so it's not too grabby. Now lower the threshold until you see about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. And now, listen for 3 checkpoints. I want you to really train this. 1. Can you read the kick? The click or knock should be obvious. 2. Does the sub note still connect between hits? It shouldn't feel like it vanishes for half the bar. 3. Does the groove stay stable when anything changes, like a ghost kick or a fill? We don't want the low end wobbling unpredictably. Also, do this at low monitoring volume for a minute. Seriously, turn your speakers down. At low volume, masking becomes obvious fast. If the kick disappears when you turn down, you either need a touch more ducking, or you need to fix the kick sample, usually by using a shorter tail or a better tuned kick. One more super useful fix. If you feel like I'm ducking a lot but the kick still isn't clear, the issue might be timing. The dip might be happening a hair late. Two solutions. You can nudge your kick trigger earlier by a few milliseconds, or use track delay on the trigger track with a tiny negative value. Even 5 to 15 milliseconds can suddenly make the kick pop, without increasing the amount of ducking. Alright. Method B. Groove-friendly ducking with volume shaping. Compression reacts to audio. Volume shaping is intentional. And for DNB, especially rollers, intentional can feel more consistent because you're literally drawing the pocket the kick needs. We've got two beginner-friendly options here. Option 1, stock only and quick. Auto pan as a volume shaper. Put auto pan on the sub track. Set phase to 0 degrees. That makes it act like a tremolo, meaning it changes volume, not stereo position. Set amount around 30 to 70%, and set the rate to sync. Start at 1/4 note. Now choose a shape that dips quickly and then returns smoothly. You're basically creating a repeating volume dip that lines up with the kick pattern. Important, this method doesn't listen to your kick, it just cycles. So it works best when your kick placement is consistent. If your kick pattern changes a lot, you'll either automate the autopan settings or use the next option. Option 2, best overall for control, utility with automation. Put utility on the sub track. Now automate the gain in arrangement view. On every kick hit, draw a quick dip, something like -3 to -8 dB, and return to zero smoothly within about 80 to 140 milliseconds. This is where you can make it feel really musical. Ghost kick, smaller dip. Big kick, bigger dip. Fill section, maybe shorten the return, so the bass doesn't vanish for a whole bar. Here's a great mindset. Keep the duck invisible on sustained notes. Sustains are where pumping becomes obvious. If your long notes sound like they're wobbling, reduce the depth and make the return curve a bit faster, so the sub is back before the next musical accent. And if your drums have swing, you can even match the return time to the swing. Slightly shorter return on swung offbeats, slightly longer on straight hits. Subtle, but it keeps the roll feeling intentional. Now method C. Multiband ducking, or really, frequency-aware ducking. The idea is simple. Duck only what clashes. Usually that's the sub area, somewhere below about 90 to 120 Hz. If you duck the entire bass sound, your res or growl can lose all its movement every kick. So either you split the bass into sub and mids, which is the clean beginner option, or you start trying to do multiband processing on one track, which can get messy fast. So the recommended approach. Keep sub as its own track and duck it. Keep bass mids on its own track and either don't duck it, or duck it very lightly. That way, the mids carry motion while the sub makes space. If you absolutely must do it on one track, you can experiment with multiband dynamics to focus on the low band. But for today, just know the principle. The more precisely you duck the problem range, the less you damage the vibe. Next, optional but very DNB. A snare micro duck. Sometimes your sub note lands right on the snare hits at 2 and 4, and the snare needs a tiny pocket too. Not a big hole, just a little space. You can do this by adding a second compressor on the sub track, sidechain to the snare. Use a gentler ratio like 2 to 1. Attack around 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 40 to 80 milliseconds. Aim for just 1 to 3 dB of reduction. Or, if you're in utility automation mode, draw smaller dips at the snare hits. This keeps the snare crack clean without flattening the bassline. Now let's talk arrangement, because ducking shouldn't be one static setting forever. In an intro or breakdown, lighter ducking can feel huge because the sub sustains longer. On the drop, tighter ducking often makes the whole track feel louder and more controlled, even if you don't change the actual level. On a second drop, changing the release time or the automation shape slightly can create a new pocket, which feels like energy and variation. A simple move, automate one parameter. Compressor threshold for more gain reduction in the drop, or compressor release, shorter for a tighter roll, or utility dip depth, more aggressive when things get heavy. Now, common mistakes to avoid, because these are the ones that make people think ducking doesn't work. First, overducking. If you're constantly doing 8 to 12 dB of gain reduction, the bass will feel like it disappears and the track loses weight. Second, release time too long. That gives you that whomp whomp vibe, which is cool in other genres, but in DNB it often feels sluggish. Third, not separating sub and mid bass. That's the big one. Your wrist will feel like it's choking every kick. Fourth, sidechaining to the full drum bus. If Hats and Ghost hits trigger ducking, the low end starts jittering. Sidechain from kick only, or a dedicated kick trigger. Fifth, ignoring overlap and phase. If your kick has a long sub tail and your sub bass is also living in that same range, you're fighting physics. Sometimes the best fix is choosing a kick with a shorter tail, or eking, so kick and sub aren't both trying to dominate the same 40 to 80 Hz area. Quick pro tips you can use even as a beginner. 1. Make a clean kick trigger track. Duplicate your kick and replace it with a short clicky trigger sample, or shorten the kick so it's just the transient. Side chain from that. Now your ducking is consistent and not affected by a messy tail. 2. Keep the sub mono. Put utility on the sub and use bass mono, or just keep width extremely low. Stereo sub is a fast path to inconsistent low end. 3. Consider saturating before ducking. Sub into saturator into compressor often ducks more smoothly, and you can still perceive the bass because the harmonics remain. 4. Tune and rolls. Decide who owns the deep low range. If your kick is huge at 50 to 70 Hz, maybe your sub reads slightly higher with harmonics. If your sub is the main weight, pick a tighter kick with more mid punch. That decision can reduce how much ducking you need by a lot. Now a quick practice routine you can do in 10 minutes. Make an 8-bar loop at 174. Program a simple rolling sub pattern, maybe around F to G. Add kick and snare. Then make 3 versions and a slash B them. Version A, sidechain compressor from kick, ratio 4 to 1, release around 80 milliseconds, about 4 dB of gain reduction. Version B, utility automation dips on each kick, about minus 6 dB, returning in around 120 milliseconds. This audio version is shortened for playback.